Welcome to Stage and Studio. I'm DeMay Roberts. Now, what if there were an event that brought in some of the most talented playwrights in the country for 2 weeks to present new works that no other audience member has ever heard before? Now, what if that festival was totally free to the public? And what if that event were right here in Portland? Well, it's here. It's been around for 11 years now, and it's called JAW, a Playwrights Festival, and it's already underway. Today, I'll be talking with one of the playwrights and the director of the festival at Portland Center Stage. So stay tuned. And in the final part of the show, we're going to have our production intern, Tali Singers, introduce another piece for us. And this one is about Portland Actors Conservatory. So this is going to be a grand show today. Stick around for Stage and Studio. I'm DeMay Roberts. With me today, our Associate Artistic Director, Rose Reardon. Good morning, Rose.
Good morning.
And playwright, Andrea Stolowitz. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, it's good to have you both on Stage and Studio. Now, Rose, this is the 11th season of JAW. So what's been the staying power and the success of JAW?
I think really the absolute commitment to the core mission of the festival, which is to support playwrights. The reason that we emphasize JAW, a Playwrights Festival, as opposed to like a New Works Festival or a New Plays Festival, is because the idea was to provide resources specifically to playwrights and have them drive the process. And we've been really, really strict about that, that the actors, the directors, the dramaturgs, the production staff, everyone at PCS working on the festival takes their cue from the playwright. The playwright leads the process. So it doesn't really matter what we think the playwright should do, or it really is about what they want to work on. And I think that's been ultimately the success, sort of staying pure to that mission, that goal. It's a simple goal, but it has really worked for us in the past.
Well, how well known is it nationally?
I don't know that if you stop someone in Ohio, they would have ever heard of JAW, but it's really a word of mouth festival. So a lot of people who come to the festival have heard about it from their peers. A lot of times we'll invite a playwright to the festival, and usually playwrights are a little nervous about development festivals. They're a little concerned about what that process is going to be like for them. And then they'll talk to somebody about JAW who's been to JAW, and it's always the second phone call that the excitement is. The first phone call is they're honored to have anyone interested in their work, but I always feel a little dubiousness if they don't know us. And then it's always the second phone call because they'll have called people. And it's the second phone call when I hear the excitement about it because of the reputation of the festival.
Well, it's so great that it's so well known. And, you know, how many submissions do you think you get a year?
We usually get around 200 submissions, which may not sound like a lot, but it is actually a lot of plays we give all of them full attention. We have a reading committee. Every play gets read twice and discussed. So I think 200 over a year and culling it down to four plays or six plays is a lot of work. It's very intensive.
Well, it's a lot of work, and you've got a lot more plays this year, too, mm-hmm. which is very impressive. And this week, you're featuring the Made in Oregon series of playwright's work, and you just had the wonderful Sue Mox reading of The Lost Boy last night. How did that go?
It was fantastic, and it was interesting that you brought up that this is the 11th year, because Sue was in our very first festival with The Shadow Testament, and so it was really fun. She also did a commission for us, which is a fundraiser attached to JAW. But to have her in the festival last night was really interesting because it was sort of our 11th birthday kicking off yesterday, and that she was in the very first festival 11 years ago. And it was great. She had a great cast. It was really nicely staged. It was very simple, and I thought it was really good storytelling.
Well, I'd like to bring in Andrea Stolowitz here to talk also, because your play's coming up. And that's happening this Thursday. And let's tell us a little bit about your play.
The play is called Bad Family, and it's about a family in Los Angeles and a 15-year-old girl who's in search of her real father, and it's this odyssey that goes from Los Angeles into the desert of Arizona and back, where this sort of bad family transforms into a family that can maybe live together, the notion being all families are bad families.
Well, I think a lot of us can relate to, for good or ill, we could relate to what a bad family, you know, dynamic might be. So what are you hoping to get from the reading that you're that's happening this Thursday?
Well, I'd like to, so for me, the part of the process that's really important is the rehearsal process as well as the reading. What I'm able to do when I work with actors and a director is find out what's working in the play and what's not working in the play. And then when it's actually presented, I can hear by the audience response where they're invested or not invested. And it's always useful for me as well to be able to have some sort of dialogue with the audience, even informally, where I can just ask some questions and find out answers to questions that I have about the play. And this particular play has had a couple readings before, and so with this hopefully will be my last go at revision before I send it to my agent and she sends it out. It's already been out a little bit, but not really. I tend to hold my work until I think it's ready to go out to theater. So
this is really crucial, this reading then, to sort of to polish it off. I mean,
yeah.
Polish it up and,
yeah.
And send it off.
Yeah, I can't do my work without actors in a room and without director. I can only sit for so long working on a script and talk to other writers and have readings in someone's living room or even at other festivals. You bring each play to a certain place and then you still have more things you want to work on with it in order to get it ready, and you just need people in a room to do that. That's the way it works.
Well, it's so collaborative. It has, you know, that's the only way it can work. Now, you mentioned you're going to have some feedback from the audience. Now, does every play have a talk back component to it?
It won't have a talk back. There's going to be questionnaires.
Yeah, we have questionnaires for the Made in Oregon series. We do a pretty extensive talk back with the six projects that we're doing the following weekend. The reason that we don't do the talk backs with the Made in Oregon series is because we haven't really given them in our house like the 10 days of development, so there isn't every play is at a different place, and sometimes they're not ready for a talk back, and some are, so we open that up as an option in terms of the questionnaires and giving the audience an opportunity to respond directly to the playwright. The other plays on the big weekend do all have Q&As, but we feel like we have spent more time with the plays and can really moderate more efficiently and more constructively than maybe we could with the Made in Oregon series, because they haven't had as much time in the room with the actors as the other ones have.
Well, I like the idea of having the questionnaire, too, because then mm-hmm. you can, you know, kind of have people who think more about what they're saying
right.
through having to write it out.
Right. And I'll have my email there. People can email me. And as well, I think after the reading, we'll congregate at some bar and people will be able to talk to me. And I find that useful, too. People
debrief,
who have something
yeah.
that they want to say will tell you. So.
Well, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, talking with Rose Reardon and Andrea Stalowitz from Portland Center Stage's JAW, a playwrights festival, and that's happening this week and also next week. And Andrea, you're the Portland regional representative of the Dramatists Guild, and so you have a national perspective of the world of playwriting and how easy or difficult it is these days for playwrights to get their work read or workshopped around the country. You want to tell us about sort of the state of playwriting right now?
Sure. I think in the last several years, there's been a large outcry against reading series because with shrinking budgets, it's become the only way that a lot of theaters can support playwrights. It's sort of, well, we can't do a production, so we'll do a reading series and we'll help you this way. And I think a lot of playwrights, when they sort of have finished the development of a play, they continue to get readings of that play. And I think that ultimately is problematic. I think the answer to that has been coming up in the last couple of years. There are a lot of companies that are playwright-driven. There's a company in New York called 13P. There's one in Minneapolis called Workhouse Collective. And these are collectives of playwrights who act as producers for their own plays. There are various schemes in how this works. I think there's one in LA called Playwright 6. But that seems to be the model that playwrights are being more and more forced to adopt, just as budgets shrink at regional theaters and even in New York theaters.
That is an interesting, you know, dilemma, because as a playwright, you want your work workshopped, you want a reading, but then if there is not enough funding to follow through with an actual production, if it almost feels like you just, you know, you run into a brick wall. You know, it doesn't go any further than that.
Well, you just have to look at each step in the process. So as a playwright, you say, oh, well, this is where I need the play to go now, so this is how this reading will be useful to me. I've been invited to reading series where I've had a play read that's already been published, and then I think, well, how is this useful to me? And I say, well, it's useful to me because people are going to hear this play. And so there is always a use to something, and you just have to kind of find it, and then you ultimately have to decide what kind of life you want to have in art and what you want to do and how you want to be produced, and sort of personal, and I think every playwright in the country wrestles with it. It's a national conversation that playwrights have. How do you want to move forward with getting your work done?
So you've worked at a lot of regional theater companies around the country. So how does Portland compare as far as producing new work?
It's great. Portland Center Stage has a huge record of producing new work. And I think, Rose can correct me, but I think usually something from the Jaw Festival does go to the main stage, which is extremely rare in these sorts of festivals. So just the notion that there's an eye towards serving the playwright and then producing a work is something that doesn't occur in every scenario. It's something unique here.
It is important to us, and I was going to add that one of the reasons, though, that we do not ever talk about that component is I don't ever want Jaw to turn into some sort of competition, that all plays are being served as they need to be during the festival, and they're not with an eye on, okay, which one's going to get picked. Yes, we do have a good record for producing something from Jaw, and it is important to us, and that's why we have the festival, but it's not a competition for a production. So we're very careful about talking about that during the process. We never have that conversation with anybody. It's only after everyone goes home and we download about, like, you know, where something is and how can we. But we love new work, and it is very challenging to do new work. But we've been pretty successful with it in terms of bringing our audience along, being able to get them to invest in a ticket for something they've never heard of. And I think that's sometimes what scares theaters when they are completely earned income driven. You know, it's nothing against playwrights. It's about staying alive in this economy, and to continue to stay in touch or have that conversation is why I think some theaters can only do reading series, do something for the playwright. But Chris Coleman, the artistic director, ever since he's arrived, he's been very, very committed to doing as much new work as possible.
Well, let's talk about some of the other plays that are happening too. So tomorrow night, it's a play by Nick Zagoni, mm-hmm. and it's called The Missing Pieces. And can you tell us just a little bit about that? It's tomorrow night.
Yes. Well, tonight's play by Brian Kettler is called In School Suspension. It's a really interesting play, if you don't mind if I talk about
that's
one for
fine.
A second.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting play about, there's a little bit of discussion about the Columbine shootings, not directly, but there is an element to the play about what the country did moving forward in terms of how to address the kid that's isolated and, you know, how to prepare for something like this in a school. And he's a really young playwright in his early 20s, and it's really fascinating from his sort of cultural point of view what that looks like. And as you mentioned, The Missing Pieces by Nick Zagoni, I think will be interesting to Oregonians because Nick tends to write about the world that he lives in Portland or Oregon. Sort of this kaleidoscope of characters during the
eruption.
During what?
The eruption.
Mount St. Helens?
Yeah, Mount St. Helens.
Well, it was a pretty big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big deal. And that sort of clouds, if you will, the story. And then, of course, we have Bad Family on Thursday.
And now those are all at 6 o'clock then?
They're all at 6 o'clock, and originally we thought that would be a weird time, but I have to say,
it's actually a good time,
I
think.
It's a great time. And last night, if any indication, we had over 130 people there for a reading at 6 o'clock, and people are into. That's what I love about Portland, is that people will come to a reading. The very first draw, I was stunned. I saw all kinds of people at the reading, and I didn't know if we would get 25 people, and we had over 100 people. So I'm very impressed with Portland's investment in sort of, you know, what's going on in the literary world.
Well, we're kind of running out of time, okay. But I want to talk a little bit about the next weekend. Pulitzer Prize winner Will Eno has a play. It's called Middletown on Friday night, July 24th at 8 p.m. And then there's also, I guess, one by Jordan Harrison, and that's on Saturday, July 25th at 4 p.m. And there's also On the Nature of Dust by Stephanie Timm, and that's Sunday, July 26th at 4 p.m., and a play that uses the tale of Leda and the Swan as a way to explore romantic obsession, and that's Sunday, July 26th at 8 p.m. And it's hard because, you know, you want to be able to talk about every single one of these plays, but I recommend people going to the Portland Center Stage website, pcs.org, and just check out, you know, all the listings, because you've done a great job of putting the playwright's photos up there, as well as
descriptions about the plays.
Well, a good description, you know, that's a lengthy description, so you can kind of see what, you know, what you want to see there. And of course, it's all free.
It's all free.
Which that's is amazing.
Yep.
Which
yep.
is totally amazing.
And we do kick off with Mark Aceto, which your audience probably is
familiar
with.
Yes, I wanted to mention. Yeah, tell me a little bit about Mark's play.
Mark's play, Birds of a Feather, is, I think people are really going to identify, it's also about relationships, that sort of the whole festival in one way or another is about relationships. We usually have some sort of weird theme, unintended, but it crops up somehow. And he explores, which a lot of people have been talking about, the this relationship with birds that have bonded, you know, like the two gay penguins, which apparently have broken up. That was in the
news. There's an actual story about that.
Central Park.
Central Park. And then there was the story of the birds that had nested in the Upper West Side building that people became very, very attached to, making sure that their nest stayed there, but the people in the building wanted to remove the nest. So he has three stories all intertwined about these kinds of exploring relationships.
Well, there's so much to check out, and I want to also encourage people to see Andrea's play on Thursday night, too, and break legs on that.
Thank you.
I hope it goes swimmingly well.
It will.
Everything
got a great cast.
That's wonderful. And it's good to have that, you know, the ability to be part of that rather than being someplace far away and then they're doing it and you're going, oh, I guess it's good, you know, or you fly in for the night before or something.
For those of us here, it's a really great way to make a vocabulary with the artists who are also here. So it's a unique opportunity for us in living here.
And we do have one free event, a panel discussion on Saturday at 11 o'clock that I think will be really interesting, not only to the local artists, but we have several people coming in who are producers from the Vineyard, Yale Rep, the Lincoln Center, and a literary agent.
Wonderful.
To discuss the collaboration between a theater that produces new work and the playwright, what that relationship is. And I think it'll be really interesting for people.
Oh, that's a great service too to the playwrights here in Portland. So that's kudos to you for doing that. All event info for JAW Playwrights Festival are at Portland Center Stage website at pcs.org. I'll also put up the links to the JAW Festival plays as well as the interview at kboo.fm/stage-and-studio. And also join our Stage and Studio Facebook page and get more updates on performing and media events there at for Portland and beyond. So Rose Reardon and Andrea Stolowitz, thank you so much for dropping by this morning and talking about JAW Playwrights Festival.
Thanks, DB.
So next up, I am actually very, very proud of our production intern, Tali Singer, who's been working on some really great creative features here. This one this morning is about Portland Actors Conservatory. For the past 2 years, the graduating class there has been undergoing the school's intensive training program. This week, students perform their monologue showcase to local directors, agents, and the public. One of the students is Phoebe Southwood. She started acting as a kid in Kentucky and put theater on hold when she moved to California for college. And after doing multimedia work in grad school, Phoebe found work as a computer technician. But then she and her husband felt creatively starved, so when they moved to Portland, Phoebe discovered the Portland Actors Conservatory, founded by artistic director Beth Harper. Tali Singer followed Phoebe and her classmates as they prepared for their showcase and has this piece.
My name is Phoebe Southwood. I have a really vivid memory of one of my earliest acting classes. There was a teacher walking us around the room, and it was a movement exercise. And she said, okay, everybody, walk from your nose. And suddenly her nose went out in this point, and everybody started kind of walking around from their nose. And I remember just in that moment thinking, this is so ridiculous and weird and wonderful. And I never wanted to stop. For some reason, that strange little moment really stuck with me. And I was really intrigued by that notion that one tiny adjustment can make you live in a different body and become a different character.
So this fella sits down at my station, scrawny, beat, banty thing, ugly as yesterday's home fries, and he's got the look.
And what I really wanted to focus on was acting. And that's what this place is about. It's really about training you to be a professional actor.
Baby, buddy, beaver, see, cat, D, dog, diffident, different, B, C, D, E, F, G, guttural, gift.
I practice for my cats. they usually leave. They're cool, but they can't clap or anything. You know, I can't account for everyone's taste. And my cats, they like cinema and they like chess and, you know,
so
I am a theater person.
Swoop, stop, costume, stop, text, stop, swoop.
One of the exercises we did was a sort of thing where we would start to swing back and forth, and then we would eventually like hurl ourselves into a circle in the air. And I remember I would get afraid, and I'd be like, what if I break my toe or twist my knee? And then I was like, oh, I'm too heavy, I'm scared. And then I was suddenly doing it, and I was flinging myself into the circles all around the room. And one thing that came up was I was like looking at people younger than me and skinnier and judging myself. And then I was like, I'd let go of it. And I just did it. And I just said, oh, this is my body. And this is how I jump in a big circle around the room. And it worked out great. And the same with the silliness. You know, I would hit these limits where I would worry that people were watching me. And then I think I had a realization one day, well, yeah, that's what it is to be an actor, is to be watched. I've chosen the character of Maxine in Tongue of a Bird by Ellen McLaughlin.
She flies a plane and she's talking to her mom about her mother's suicide. My own mother committed suicide at a very young age, and this monologue relates to it so well that I found it a little bit scary to think of actually doing it. But I talked to Beth Harper, the director here and the head of school, and she said, some of my best work has been done when it's really close to me. So I think you might want to consider going for it.
I guess my mother liked you, Amelia. What is that about? Amelia Earhart. Earhart. One thing I know, Amelia, I would have found you. Weeks they looked for you, all those Air Force Yahoos, the largest air search in history, not a trace. Hundreds of square miles of Grace Lake water and know you. I would have found you because I know you. I could see it in those eyes of yours. Photo after photo of you standing in front of planes as if you were guarding them.
Okay. Here's what you need to do. Why have you chosen to...
Phoebe will show up.
You're in a plane, right?
Ready,
yeah.
And prepared to work. She knows how to say yes and mean it fully and completely. That's the greatness of Phoebe as a human being, as an artist.
Yeah.
She's got this spirit that is just so alive and bubbly, and you can feel it, and you can feel it in her work too. She knows how to connect herself to her work, and just great. She's just great with that.
And he's got the look. Y'all know that look. Looks like a puppy dog whimpering back of his eyes.
means he's looking for more than just two eggs on a raft, reckon cup of Joe Light. So I do what a girl's gotta do. I ignore him. No warm-ups, no sass, save my smiles for the wedding rings and the grandpas in the next booth. I would worry that people were watching me, and then I think I had a realization one day, well, yeah, that's what it is to be an actor, is to be watched, and what we're sharing with other human beings is how absolutely silly it can be to be a human being, or painful, or wonderful. And if we don't share all the way with our hearts open, then the audience isn't going to connect with us and take away the most they can from a performance.
Well, that piece was produced by Tali Singer, and you can watch Phoebe Southwood and the other soon-to-be graduates of Portland Actors Conservatory in action this week. Their monologue showcase starts tomorrow, the 15th, and continues through Saturday with performances at 7:30 p.m. For tickets, go to portlandactorsconservatory.com or call Portland Actors Conservatory at 503-274-1717. That's 274-1717. Tickets are $15 each. Also, check out the Conservatory's acting program and their scholarships. Before we go today, an announcement. Playwright Sandra DeHellen will perform in her solo play Copperheads and Common Women as part of Coho Theater's Endless Summer. Dates are Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, July 20th, 21st, and 22nd, and the time is at 7:30 p.m. Tickets for Sandra DeHellen's one-hour show have a suggested price of $10. You can get your tickets through the box office at 503-205-0715. That's 205-0715, or online at cohoproductions.org. And you also can go to kbu.fm/stageandstudio. I'll be posting links to everything there and also on the Facebook page. Now, Sandra DeHellen performs Copperheads and Common Women at Fertile Ground also last January. So if you want to see the revised longer version, this is your chance for July 20th, 21st, and 22nd at 7:30 p.m. at Coho Productions. That's it for Stage and Studio. Next week I'll feature Coho Productions, Endless Summer, as well as Dog Sees God, Confessions of a Teenage Blockhead. We'll also talk with playwright Naomi Izuka and her play reading at the Jaw Festival. So till then, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.